The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today we're discussing a topic that we've discussed many times before on Healthy Ulster Radio, and that is the opioid epidemic. And today specifically, we're going to be talking about innovative approaches to combating the opioid epidemic in Ulster County. And we're going to be talking to our colleagues from the Ulster County Sheriff's Department. And they have some really interesting things to tell us about their programs and services. But first, I'd like to provide a little statistical overview of the opioid epidemic in Ulster County. Listeners may have heard this before, but in 2018, Ulster County had the second highest rate of opioid fatalities out of 62 counties in New York State. In 2018, we put together a prevention strategy coalition, and by 2019, in 1 year, we had reduced fatalities by 41%. And some of what you're going to hear about today contributed to that in a big way. Then COVID hit Ulster County, like many communities in our nation, and we experienced a huge surge in overdoses and fatalities, basically a 93% increase. And in 2021, the numbers are beginning to trend slightly downward. We have our fingers crossed that it will continue. Obviously, COVID made a big impact on people in terms of social isolation and health worries and financial worries, employment issues, and so on. So today, our guests are Under Sheriff Eric Benjamin. Eric retired after 30 years as lieutenant of the road division of the sheriff's office and then was appointed under sheriff, which is basically second in command, by Sheriff Juan Figueroa, who is an amazing leader and really has led the way in working with the departments of health and mental health in an unprecedented way. And then we have Wilbur Prutzman. Will has been with the sheriff's office for 19 years. He graduated Onteora High School in 1999, SUNY Empire State College in 2016, and completed a master's degree at Capella University in 2018 in psychology with a concentration in applied behavioral analysis. He was appointed as coordinator of the Oracle team at its inception in 2019, and Oracle stands for Opioid Response as County Law Enforcement. We'll hear a lot more about that. And then we also have Detective Mario Tolofiero. He is a 1999 graduate of Saugerties High School, a 2005 graduate of SUNY Ulster, 2007 graduate of the Police Academy. Detective Tagliaferro. Tolofiero was a part-time police officer for the town of Saugerties Police Department until being hired by the Ulster County Sheriff's Office in 2008, promoted to detective in 2016, placed with Oracle in 2021, and is the new coordinator of the Sheriff's Anti-Violence Effort Response Team, also known as the AVERT Initiative. Gentlemen, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. It's good to have you here.
Great. Thank you, Vin.
Thanks for having us, Vin. Thanks.
So as our listeners may not know, we worked very early on in Sheriff Figueroa's tenure as a sheriff. We worked together to implement a medication-assisted treatment program in the Ulster County Jail for individuals suffering from opioid use disorder, and worked together. We took road trips to Monroe County, to Albany, to take a look at best practices all over the state. And one of the programs that the sheriff did put together was called the Oracle team, which I mentioned earlier. So, this question will go out to any of you or all of you who want to answer. What exactly is Oracle? How did it get started? And what is its mission? And how does it fit into the bigger picture of opioid prevention strategy?
Vin, this is Eric. I'd like to answer that. I'll do the introduction, and I'll really refer the operations portion over to Will. But the Oracle program was actually something that Sheriff Juan Figueroa, even before he ran for sheriff, had a great concern for. As you know, and a lot of other folks know, that opioids, overdoses, and fatalities affects a lot of folks, and it would be hard-pressed to have somebody not know who's been affected personally. It crosses all boundaries, lines. It doesn't care if you're rich or poor. So that was one of the discussions that I had with Juan before he ran. And certainly what I brought to him was usually a sense of helplessness from the law enforcement perspective, in that we would have mothers and fathers begging us to place their child in jail to keep them away from opioids. They knew that there was going to be a problem, a potential overdose with their children, and we felt helpless. How do you answer a parent who wants to put their kid in jail just to keep them away from drugs? So the sheriff came up with the Oracle program concept, and it was aptly named Oracle by Eve Walter, who is one of our county legislators. She was also instrumental in helping write a grant for Oracle. So we'd like to give a shout out to Eve. But Oracle was established in 2019 as an effort to bridge the gap, strengthen the relationship between law enforcement and the community, and provide a community-level response to overdoses and Narcan education. Now, that's a real brief summary. That's one part of his four-part Oracle plan. But I'd really like to have Will follow up, as he has been appointed the coordinator for that program.
Sure. And Will, could you tell us how Oracle is structured and really what it's, what it looks like day to day for the team?
So day to day, the first thing we look at is any in-person response that we have to go and make. We like to do everything in person whenever possible, not just by the phone, and just make that human connection with people. And right from meeting them, meeting the families, finding out what needs the family needs as a whole, and making sure that we can make the referrals and recommendations to other organizations that are best equipped to help them. We have a hotline. We take the hotline calls real time, and to get out there whenever anybody's in any type of a crisis and give them that in-person response as well. The HRMT has been influential in the follow-ups and follow-up visits, and making sure that we create that continuum to continue care for an individual as their needs change after they come back from inpatient program, and just really to be there for them whenever they need us. Mm-hmm. And then we have our education piece at all the community events in Ulster County, and some educational pieces we get to do outside of Ulster County when they request us, but to really educate the public on what it is that's out there, and let them know, what it is that we do.
Mm-hmm. And HRMT stands for High Risk Mitigation Team, for our listeners' benefit, and we'll talk about that in more detail. So just out of curiosity, what drew each of you to do this work on a personal level? If you might touch on that briefly.
Well, I would say, Vin, for myself, with 36 years of law enforcement experience and being out on the road, I have seen personally the devastation of and the effect of opioids on really a cross segment of population. I can't say that it's been our youth. There's also senior citizens. We've gone through the process of going from oxycodone to heroin to now fentanyl and carfentanil. We've all known somebody who has been affected by a fatality with overdoses, including my first cousin. And that's where it really gets, for us, personal with our involvement and wanting to make Oracle succeed. And one of the reasons that it does succeed is that we have a tremendous team that we put together. I could not thank Wilbur Prutzman enough for all his efforts and his team's efforts. And that was just a great selection as a coordinator to go out and do this job. I've been doing this, been like I said, for well over 36 years. And really, it's a matter of our experiences, education, and we were educated as well. Part of my process is we would see overdoses or we would investigate overdoses. And, you know, you just get enough of them and you're looking at somebody saying, you know, why would you put this substance in your body? It's almost like it's your own fault that you did this and you overdosed. Really, the change in our mindset, you know, these are real people. They have real families that are affected. And it's just been a terrible tragedy along the way. But to have that change, to have this oracle in place where we're actually going out and we're helping families, we're helping people addicted to substances, even those that we arrest, we offer the services of Oracle as a part of treatment. And it's not just that we're offering the treatment, substance abuse, counseling. We actually have established follow-up plans, try to get them into a rehab and follow them after the rehab, to the point where the sheriff is also working on folks getting jobs and following up with mental health and patient services as well as social services.
Right. And it's
really a tremendous thing.
Yeah, and we know that the road to recovery is a multi-year process, right? And it's not a straight line between here and there. It's characterized often by setbacks and stumbles along the way, but that doesn't mean that anyone should give up or anyone should give up on their loved ones and friends. And what you guys are doing is really tremendous. And we're going to talk about the high-risk mitigation team, which really is designed to go the distance with individuals right after we take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
Heart attacks won't wait. If you ever have symptoms of a heart attack, you need to get to the nearest emergency department, preferably one with the technology and expertise to stop a heart attack in its tracks. Health Alliance Hospital, right here on Broadway in Kingston, has expanded cardiac services, including catheterization and electrophysiology. Now, for many people, Health Alliance in Kingston is the closest option to find treatment of clogged arteries, irregular heartbeats, and to limit damage from a heart attack already in process. For the first time, we have these advanced heart health services based right here in Ulster County. This expansion is part of a larger plan to bring advanced cardiac services to Ulster County and the surrounding communities. If you have heart attack symptoms, do not wait. Call 911 and get to the closest emergency department. At Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston, we are ready to see you now. That's Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston. WMC Health, advancing care here.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and today we're talking about innovative approaches to combating the opioid epidemic in Ulster County, and specifically the collaboration between law enforcement, public health, and mental health in addressing this public health crisis. And our guests are Under Sheriff Eric Benjamin from the Sheriff's Department, Wilbur Prutzman, who is part of the coordinator of the Oracle team, and Detective Mario Atola Fierro, who advises me that I could call him Tag. And I like that better because I'll stumble over his name again. And so, gentlemen, before the break, we were talking about the evolution of the Oracle team and law enforcement's involvement and collaboration in meeting the opioid epidemic. One of the key findings in our coalition that we established in early 2018, and Will, you attended those meetings, was that simply placing an individual in a short-term inpatient or outpatient program and then releasing them back out into the streets or back to their former, you know, lives And then hoping for the best really didn't cut it. And it often led to recurring overdoses, and that, you know, we really came to the conclusion that, you know, we really needed to follow individuals throughout the multi-year continuum of care and treatment and recovery forever, however long that took, and really provide close in support and services so that, you know, we could address all of their challenges and barriers, such as, you know, safe and affordable housing and employment, family supports, all those things. So we established a concept known as the high risk mitigation team, and that consists of care managers, social workers, certified peer recovery advocates, working side by side with the Oracle team to really focus in on really high, persistent high risk substance users, and provide them with the support they need to go the distance and really develop. And we developed a database tracking system that allows us to follow those individuals with their consent through that entire process. So tell us about, you know, the high risk mitigation team operates from the Sheriff's Department with the Oracle team. So tell us about that structure and how that's all coordinated.
So we're really just one big team. We don't really differentiate between the two. And we work together really well. So we brought in Juliana, who's our social worker, case managers and peer specialists, Jessica and Shikoya. They're amazing. They do a lot of work. They're out in the education piece now. They do a lot of follow-up visits for people that need the in-person visit, because that's the type of support that they need. Make themselves always available to talk on the phone if somebody's in a vulnerable moment, and then make sure that if there's anything going on where we do need to get somebody someplace, that we make those arrangements, get the team out there and get them where they're going. But to make sure that they don't fall through the cracks, as it were, when they come back from the inpatient treatment and they're going through their outpatient and they're trying to find jobs, some individuals want to go to school, and they help navigate them through everything it is that they need to do so that there's as little work for them as possible to be able to get signed up for things. They make their appointment for them when they need help with that, and then right down to transportation on the occasions we have to do that to make sure that people are where they need to be when their appointments are.
And it seemed to me that, you know, that one of the things that we discovered in our early coalition was that, you know, we had individuals overdosing all over Ulster County, right? But the big unanswered question is, what happened to those people next? And no one could really answer that question. People would sometimes just drop off of everyone's radar screen, and nobody would notice, and then, you know, bad things would happen. So tell us a little bit about how the database system, how you keep track of folks, and how you convince them that it's in their interest to allow you to do that.
So we have the various forms that we follow up on. We receive all the overdose forms in Ulster County, in which case we give never more than 2 days for a response, but certainly within a couple hour period, we're typically out. We work very well with Kingston and Ellenville Regional Hospital and their staff. When somebody says that they want help, they make sure that they reach out to us as quickly as possible so that we can get involved. And with the data tracker, we just keep a list of any of the information that they're willing to give us so that it makes it easier for us to stay in contact with them, whether it's by phone, through a phone call or text message, if they prefer an in-person visit, to be able to get to their house and get out and see them. And we try and keep it every couple of days. We make sure that we're at least talking with everybody that's on our individual caseloads just to see where it is that they're at.
So just like a quick check-in with folks, just to make sure that they're still, that they're okay, and didn't get lost in the system, right?
Exactly. And if we have someone we can't get a hold of by the phone, we make sure to get out to the house just to make sure that they're okay, see what's going on, kind of assess the situation and see if there's anything that we could do better to better help them.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was one of the people who really pioneered the high-risk mitigation team concept early on, and then it was developed out with a lot of you know, really amazing people, the sheriff and yourself and all the colleagues in the health and mental health world. But one of the things that we thought about, you know, when to sell this to individuals, so, and I put sell in quotation marks, about giving us consent to follow them, was that, look, we're not going to use this information for any purpose of, you know, for any law enforcement, traditional law enforcement purpose, or, you know, or, and we're not sharing this information with anyone. This is here specifically to catch you if you fall. If you are in a place where we know that the road to recovery is really difficult and really challenging, and if you fall, we're here to catch you. And I think that that's a really big important point, that, you know, assuring individuals that, you know, that, hey, you don't have to do this alone. There's a team behind you, there's a community behind you, and we're committed to your well-being and success.
Yeah, just to have that support out there, just to help their families and friends, support them and their loved ones, and just let them know that they can reach out. And also with that, with harm reduction philosophies, it's not uncommon for us to go out. We'll accept any syringes if people have them, and we'll have them disposed of. People turn over paraphernalia, they turn over drugs, and no questions asked. We just take them, we secure them, and we send them out to be incinerated. So keeping confidentiality, even with something like that, you know, sometimes that means a lot to the families and the friends.
Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, like when you talk to other colleagues in law enforcement, and any of you can answer this, and they, you know, they ask you about this initiative and this process, do you find that in your circles that in the law enforcement community is more and more supportive of this type of activity?
Absolutely. We have liaison officers at several of the Ulster County Police Departments where they actually come out, they train with us, they work alongside us. So Saugerties, Kingston, all of police departments, Shandaken, Woodstock, New Paltz, you know, everybody is really getting up and on board. And they themselves, when they have an individual that's in crisis, make sure that they reach out to us so that we can get that immediate response and just see what type of care we can get. And everybody seems to be treatment driven now instead of incarceration driven, which is a huge help.
Yeah, I mean, I know, you know, early on when we put the medication-assisted treatment program in the jail, it took us a better part of a year. You know, we brought in experts from all over the country and all over the state to really listen carefully to concerns that, you know, corrections folks had, and really to answer every question, to bring in the experts, to bring in colleagues who have been doing this and this work in other communities. And it really does take a lot of education and awareness, not just with law enforcement, with just the community in general, to recognize that substance use and opioid disorder is a chronic disease, and that it really does treat it with dignity and respect and help and a lot of support, just like we would do for any other disease condition. And, you know, reducing that stigma is a really big part of it, you know, to get away from that. It's those people who are drug addicts or whatever. You know, it's an illness that deserves to really be treated with dignity and respect. So you guys are doing amazing work. So before we run out of time, just a quick question. So, you know, since the COVID pandemic is now subsiding, you know, Ulster County has collectively probably invested as a community over $7 million in a multitude of interventions and initiatives designed to reduce overdoses and fatalities. Gentlemen, I can't thank you enough on behalf of all of the residents of Ulster County and also myself. It's been a true pleasure to work with all of you. I take my hat off to all of you to be the and to Sheriff Figueroa for his leadership in really expanding the vision of law enforcement as being proactive part of the solution. You do tremendous work, and we can't thank you enough. It's really nice to have you here, and we hope to have you back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.